you've done all you can. Seems like it's never enough. And what do you say when your friends turn away? You're all alone, all alone. Tell me, what do you give when you've given your all? Seems like you just can't make it through. Child, you just stand, you just stand. Don't you do a word after you've done all you can. You just stand. Tell me, how do you handle the guilt of your past? Tell me, how do you deal with the shame? And how do you smile when your friends do have been filled with pain? Tell me, what do you give when you've done all you can? Seems like you can't make it through. Child, you just stand, you just stand. Let the Lord watch you through them. After you've done all you can, you just stand. And be sure, be not entangled in that bondage again. You just stand and endure, 'cause God has a purpose, yes, God has a plan. Tell me, what do you do when you've done all you can? Seems like you can't make it through. Child, you just stand. Just stand, don't you dare give up. Through the storms, yes, through the rain, through the hurt, oh, through the pain. Don't you bow and don't you bend. Don't give up, oh, don't give in. Hold on, just be strong. God will step in, it won't be long. After you've done all you can. After you've done all you can. After you've gone through the hurt, after you've gone through the pain, after you've gone through the storm, after you've gone through the rain, I prayed and cried, and I prayed and cried. Oh, I prayed and cried, yes, prayed and cried. After you've done all you can, you just stand.
He's ever faithful. He knows what we need, and he's always on time. I want to talk to you about a subject that many of us heard many messages about, and I'm sure that I may not tell you anything tonight that you don't already know, but I pray to God that he'll use the message tonight to encourage your heart. I want to leave you this thought as we go into our introduction. Let's all stand and take our Bibles. Let's turn over to Luke chapter number 18. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 8, but our focus is going to begin in verse number 1. I want you to think about it tonight. I believe all of us go through this in our life. And I pray that God will use me or use this passage to encourage us. Think about it tonight. When prayer seems like it's not working, what do you do? When prayer seems like it's not working. You know, the devil wants us to quit. He wants us to give up. He wants you to get off your knees. Because if we stay on our knees, we can draw closer to God. We can have a better understanding what God is doing and what God wants to do in our life. And I believe one of the things that hinders us in our Christian life, when it comes to praying, we have a tendency to want to quit. But Jesus here in this parable, as we're going to look at it tonight, I'm encouraged by it. And I want us to look at it. And it says here in chapter number 18 in verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. See, Jesus is the great teacher. And he wants to teach us tonight the importance of continual praying. Don't quit. Don't faint. And it's something that we ought to do. Because the devil does not want you and I to have a productive prayer life. And it goes on and says, and there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regardeth man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward, he said, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Father, we thank you again for tonight. God, we're truly grateful and blessed to be in your house tonight. Lord, that you give us a place that we can come and be encouraged, that we've already received encouragement and blessing from your word this morning. And I'm sure in the morning hour, and we did this morning in the children's church, and just a blessing to see this family come out and visit us with Pastor Patterson. Patterson preached one of the first messages there in our church years ago, and to see the fruit of his labor of a soul or family that would give the time that they've given to support their pastor. And what a privilege it is for us to come again tonight. As we come, Lord, I pray that you would empty myself, fill me with your spirit, and I might speak, thus saith the Lord, that your people might be encouraged tonight as we look at this subject matter of continuing praying, because you're telling us not to faint when it comes to prayer. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And I think about all that we've gone through this week and this year, as pastor has chosen a wonderful subject matter. And we're talking about standing. If we're going to stand today and stand for what God would have us to do, I believe prayer is one of the things that we're going to have to do. Amen. We're going to have to be fervent in our prayer life. I want us to think about two things why prayer is so needful. As Jesus said in verse number one, he says, and he spake a parable unto them, this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. I believe that Jesus is telling us and instructing us of the need of prayer in our lives. Prayer is a great need. And I believe two reasons that we ought to have prayer in our life, because we are faced with adversity every day in our lives. And if we're not prayed up that the way we ought to be when it comes to prayer, we will say the wrong things, we will do the wrong things, or we will perceive things the wrong way. But we are faced with adversity every day in our lives. Gary Whitfield says this, trials are sent for two ends, that we may be better acquainted with the Lord Jesus and with our own wicked hearts when it comes to adversity. And I realized tonight that we're going to face adversities, but the Bible tells us that we should count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptation, knowing that the trying of our faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work and entire. And God is telling us when we fall, not that it's going to happen, that we're going to have adversity in our lives. But also, not only are we going to have adversity in our lives, but we have an adversary that does not want to see us as Christians to have a fervent prayer life. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In other words, what I'm saying to you tonight is that the devil doesn't quit. He's not going to give up when it comes to trying to destroy your Christian life and your Christian testimony. In Ephesians 6 and verse 10 through 12, as we've been looking at it this year, as Pastor has been preaching on it many times, it tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have an adversary that's out there trying to destroy us in our Christian life. And he wants you to quit when it comes to prayer. How many of you tonight are praying about something or someone? I hope that all of us are. But you know what? When we get to the point where we give up on praying for whatever it is that you're praying for, you're doing yourself an injustice, and you're not giving God a chance to work in that prayer. You may be praying for a loved one. I'm thankful tonight that somebody was praying for me. I believe tonight that I'm saved because somebody been praying for me. And when I was given the opportunity to get saved, I got saved because I believe somebody was praying for me. When Pastor Kraft knocked on my door, I believe he'd already prayed that somebody would be behind that door, that he would be able to share the gospel. He came, as we were sharing with our class this morning, Teresa and I, our testimony about missionaries that were willing to go into a foreign land. We are Americans, and we got saved while we were overseas, amen? Because I believe that somebody is praying for us. But see, the adversary, the devil, does not want us to be prayed for or to pray for other people. Amen? And it's amazing here, when Jesus goes into this teaching, Jesus uses two people in this teaching that he wants to teach us about prayer. He talks about a widow who had been wrongly and unjustly treated. He talks about a wicked judge who had an opportunity to avenge her of her adversary, but he would not do that because he was a wicked judge. But it tells us something about here that I believe he wants to teach us from this parable about the importance of how this widow behaved herself by constantly coming back to this judge, wanting him to avenge her because she had a need. And God wants to teach us about the importance of being consistent in our prayer life, that he's not like this wicked judge, because I like what our Father says that he does. When Abraham confronted God about the 10 people that would be in a city that was righteous, and Jesus said that there were only 10, that he would not destroy that city because of the righteous. And Abraham says, would not the judge of all the earth do right? Because God will always do right by us. He's never going to do wrong by us. And we shouldn't give up on God in our prayer life because our prayers are not answered the way that we want them to be answered. They're not answered in the time that we want them to be answered. But God has a plan, and he's not like this wicked judge.
Right.
Because God is faithful.
Right. Yes,
he is. And he wants us to be consistent in our prayer life. Because when we give up on prayer, I want to tell you something. When you give up on prayer, you might be just that one time that God was ready to answer it, and you decided to stop praying for it. You decided to stop praying for it. How many of you here tonight are praying for a loved one? Some of you here tonight are praying for a brother, praying for a sister, praying for a husband, praying for a wife, praying for your children that have gone wayward, praying for all of these things. You know what? God wants you to continue to pray.
That's right.
I've been praying for my daughters from the day that I brought them home. When we brought them home, I began to pray that God would give them a godly husband. You know what? It has not happened, but I have not stopped praying for it.
Amen.
And if they don't get one, it's all right, because I'm okay with God's plan.
That's right.
I'd rather for them to have a godly man than have a worthless man. And bring grandchildren that would be mine, brought into a world and a society, brought up in a family that does not love God and put God first. But I'm not going to stop praying for them. Because we ought to keep praying. Because God wants us to be fervent in our prayer. You might be praying for a husband who's not saved. You know what? Don't quit. What he's telling us, don't give up. God has a plan. Like Brother Gary said, we just need to stand. Because God has a plan.
That's right.
You know what? That ain't in the message, but you know what? I just got to go there tonight.
That's good. It's all good, Pastor.
Just got to go there tonight. I want you to think about it. God wants us to be persistent in our prayer. Persistent prayer is necessary today. It's a necessity.
Amen.
Be persistent in your prayer life. And what he's talking about here tonight, and we want to see is this importance of being persistent, because this widow was persistent. The judge got, he didn't answer her prayer or attend to her need because he knew it was the right thing to do. Because notice what he says. And this judge in verse number 2 says, there was in the city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. In other words, he didn't care nothing about God. He didn't care nothing about man. You know, when a person don't care anything about God, he don't care about a whole lot about justice. Because God is a God of justice, because God is a God that will always do right. I want us to notice, first of all, the command here is confirming the precept or the command that we ought to pray. Look at verse number 1. It tells us, and he spake a parable unto them of this end, that men ought to pray. In other words, he's telling us it's something that we ought to do. God is commanding us that we ought not to not pray, because we live in a society that is trying to take prayer out of our society. It is opposed to what God would have us to do. And we see it every day. It's getting worse and worse. They don't want prayer in schools. They don't want you to see you praying over your food. Our society does not want you to pray. But Jesus says we ought to pray. We ought to pray. It's ought is a word here that he uses in confirming the need of prayer. God is saying Christ is saying we ought to pray, but our court in this land often says we ought not pray. But notice the continuousness in this command. The precept here, or the command here, is first of all, is always pray. Always does not mean that every single moment we ought to be praying, but it does mean this. I wanted to think about it. It's three things that it's meaning that we ought to do. It means that we ought to always have a scheduled time for prayer.
Amen.
A scheduled time for prayer. How many of you have thought about praying and something happened and you didn't do it? Because there's always going to be adversity. There's always our adversary. And you know what it reminds me of when I think about the time or scheduled prayer? You remember in Daniel chapter number 6 and verse 10, and Daniel prayed how many times a day? Three times a day. And when the decree went out about challenging them about prayer, Daniel did what he always does. He didn't get upset. He didn't get angry. It didn't deter him from what he normally does, and that was to have a consistent prayer life. This is what this parable is talking about. It's not talking about praying and that's all you do. It's not, I mean, where you just praying every moment, but he's talking about having a scheduled time that you get alone with God and you pray. Because when trials come and adversity comes, it ought not throw you off course. In other words, if you have a constructive or a fervent prayer life, you ought to go right to prayer every time that you go and pray. And then when adversity comes, you're already there in prayer as you need to be. Because if you're not, and you're not consistent in it, there'll always be something that'll come up to keep you from praying. But if we have a scheduled time that we get on our knees before God and pray, nothing will deter us from doing that. And Daniel was so guilty that they knew exactly where to go to find him. Well, maybe I'm just a dumb country boy, but if he was praying and doing what he ought to be doing, they must not been praying either, because they were supposed to be praying when the trumpet sound. But you know what? That's our society today.
Yes, sir, it is, Pastor.
They're always looking at a way to get to you. The devil knows exactly what it takes and wants to throw you off course. But Daniel was consistent in his prayer life. He had a scheduled time, but not only do we see here is a scheduled time, but it's seasonal. In other words, the season of this continuous prayer was that prayer should be both in the good times and in the bad times. You know what? Many of us don't pray to God unless we're going through something. But you ought to pray to God just because he's just God. And just, he is just good. And he's good all the time. And we ought to be so consistent in our prayer life that we ought to pray in the good times and we ought to pray in the bad times. It ought not never take us by surprise. Because if we thank God for when things are going good, we'll thank God when things aren't going the way that we want them to go. Because we're always praying and thanking him for what he's doing. We see the schedule, we see the season, it's all the time, not just when things are going bad. Daniel didn't pray when it was going bad because Daniel had a consistent prayer life. He's prayed when it was scheduled. He prayed in the season of prayer, but he also prayed in the spirit. But you know how many of us are not have a consistent prayer life? And when things happen, we're in the flesh. Because let me tell you, adversity is going to come. And you know what? I always put it this way. When you're not in the spirit, you're in the what? You're in the flesh. And if not careful, when adversity comes, one of them going to answer the door. Amen? So who's going to be the keeper of the door of your heart? It ought to be the Spirit of God. We ought to be in constant prayer. How many times I think about it this way. When somebody's asking you something and say, you know what, Pastor White, I want to ask you something. You know, one of the first things I ought to do is to be praying, God, help me to answer this person the right way. See, that's what we're talking about. When you got a fervent and a consistent prayer life, when things come up, you don't react in the flesh. You can react in the spirit. Because things will be done a lot better when we give God the opportunity to respond. Because when we react, it's in the flesh. But the response ought to be in the spirit. And when they came to Daniel, Daniel didn't get all upset. I'm praying to my God. Because my God is able. And I know you're not going to keep me from praying to my God. Because he had a consistent prayer life. It's consistent. And when things happen, no more you ought not keep us from praying to our God. Whether it be seasonal, whether it be scheduled, it ought to be in the spirit. Amen. When we think about this persistent prayer life. But let me show you, share something with you. The ceasing in this precept or this command. He says not to faint. See, fainting is an ever-present problem in one's prayer life. I want you to notice six things that would cause us to faint when it comes to prayer. First of all, defilement. The Bible tells us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So I got to keep the slate clean. So when I go to God in prayer, there's no sin hindering my prayer life. Because it's going to deafen God's ear to my prayer. But I tell you what else sin does. And most people that are wallowing in sin are not good prayer warriors. If you're not right with God, you're not going to have a good prayer life. Because I don't believe that you can pray to the God of heaven and get an answer. Because he's already telling us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he ain't going to hear me. I want to be able to reach the throne of grace that I may obtain mercy and grace to help me in my time of need. And if I'm going to go to God, I got to make sure that my sins are not in the position to keep God from answering my prayer. He says, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have no sin, you lie, because we got sin. But defilement will keep us from praying. I think about another thing that keeps us from prayer is doubt. James tells us James 1:6 says this. James 1:6 says that we must, but let him ask in faith. If you, and not wavering. Because if we doubt what God can do, he's not going to answer the prayer.
Amen.
Doubt will never get an answer from God. But we have to ask in faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So if I'm going to come to God, I got to come to God in prayer, but I got to come in faith, believing that God is going to answer, God is going to meet the need, and I have to come in faith. I have to come in faith. Not wavering. So we see that doubt would keep us from having our prayers answered. And a faith is essential in a dedicated prayer life. I don't know many people who have doubt, whether it comes to prayer or whether it comes to giving, where it comes to reading the Bible, have ever had a prosperous life, because unbelief does not promote prayer, but it stops it.
Yes, sir, it does.
Why are you going to go to somebody and ask them for something when you don't believe they're going to give it to you? See, God knows your heart. Let me move on, because I'll be parked there for a little while. A danger is one of the things that will stop us from prayer. You know, I don't know if those men, when they got in the lion's den, where they prayed or not. But you know what Daniel did in chapter 6? Because that was something he always did. And God met the need. See, danger will keep you from praying. If we think about danger, because danger will do what? The fourth thing is bring distraction. Distraction is another thing that would draw us away from our prayer life. See, the devil is the master of producing distractions during our prayer time in order to keep us from praying well. How many of y'all have been down on your knees bowing to prayer and the old flesh kick in and you shake and you wake up like, wow, I've been asleep all this time. Done it, been there, got the dents from it, amen? But the devil knows if he can distract you, you're not going to have a good prayer life. The phone will ring. Something to come up that you got to do, or you think there's more important than your prayer life. You know what? If we get too busy to pray, they always told me you're too busy. Because you ought to pray. That ought to be the first thing you do. And most of us get so caught up in this world and the events and everything that's going on, we don't stop and pray.
Amen.
Guilty. Guilty. I got up yesterday morning with all great intents. I'm going to help my wife out going to the commissary. Going to pick up a few things from the commissary. Come back home. I'm going to cook her breakfast in bed. And I when I said I was going to come back, I was going to pray first, preacher. Forgot all about the prayer time. But I got my wife breakfast cooked in bed.
Amen.
But you know, it's a good thing. But it can still be a distraction.
Right.
Now, I could have let her sleep a little longer, brother, and then prayed and then woke her up with the good smelling of eggs and country smoked sausages. Amen? Amen?
Oh, yeah.
Smoked sausages.
Uh-huh.
But what I'm saying here tonight is that distractions can keep us from praying.
That's right.
And the devil knows exactly what to bring into your life that gets you so wound up that you forget to pray. Because that's what I ought to have done before I even went to the commissary. Or before I went to the gym. Or before I go out for the day. I need to saturate myself with prayer. Because adversity is going to come. Temptations are going to come. So we see distractions. How about delay? A few things are no bigger than the cause for us to faint in prayer is that the delay in the answer to prayer. But you know what? That's when we ought to, by faith, just trust God. You know, when they were in the fiery furnace, I keep going back to that event. When they were in the fiery furnace, I like what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. You know what, Nebuchadnezzar? We don't know if our God will deliver us, but we know that he's able. He's able. And we don't know if he will, but we do know that he's able. Amen? But you know what? When God answered their need or even the prayer, it was always on time. The lion got locked jaw. The furnace didn't scorch him. Because God is always on time. He may not come when you want him to, but he's always on time. How many of us can give testimony tonight when we were just about to go out there and just taking it on ourselves to do what we thought that needed to be done, but God in his grace and mercy just stepped in and said, wait a minute, son, I got this. And you can look back in your Christian life and say, praise God, I didn't make that foolish mistake because I wanted to get ahead of God. See, God is never late. He's always on time. The lion didn't eat him. The fire didn't burn him. Because God is a God that will meet your needs because he knows exactly when the needs need to be met. And we need to trust him and not stop praying because there have been some delay. There's been some delay. And many of us have something going on in our lives tonight that we're praying for, and God may not have answered yet. What am I saying tonight? Don't quit. It may be just around the corner that God may answer. You know, I looking at the preacher, he said, that's right. You know, we were up there and I tell y'all this story. We was up there in California at the conference, and preacher was sweating bullets, knowing that we didn't have but $35,000 and we needed more than that in order, because we've already given, amen, a pledge that we're going to buy this building. Amen. And he's sitting in there, the preacher preaching, and he probably didn't hear a whole lot what was going on because he was thinking about that. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he goes to the bathroom. Am I correct? He gets a phone call. Wow. And the man said, he's give us $500,000 to buy this building. Amen. You know what? And the people at the bank were so shocked by it, they didn't even want to take the check. Look, we can't take it because it's only going to cost $480,000 or $470,000 or $80,000. It says $500,000, so we can't do that. So Mr. Lasco said, look, just put the money in their account. They can have the rest of it, do whatever they want to with it. Amen. The check's good. Man. See, God knows. Man. Yes, it was. It may be a delay in it, but you know what? When God answers, boy, you can just say hallelujah, praise God, because he's good and he's always on time. He's never late. So delay ought not keep us from praying. It ought to make us more fervent in our prayer life. Amen. So we see the delay. But notice there's a disease. You know what? One of the things when we're sick, most of us don't think about praying. I don't know about y'all, but I want my wife to pamper me. I want her to bring me some orange juice. I want to stay in bed and just sleep and rest. I don't want to do anything. But you know what? You still ought to pray. And one of the things you can do is pray for yourself that you might get well. I want y'all to continue to pray for me when you're sick, because I need prayer dealing with them knuckleheads every day. Amen. But when you get sick, you ought not stop praying. Most of us, if we be honest, we don't want to do anything when we're sick. But you know what? We ought to still pray. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Keep on praying. Don't stop. Because when we're consistent in it, we'll be persistent in it. Amen? When we're persistent in it, would be consistent in it. And that's the parable that Jesus is trying to teach us when it comes to prayer. He uses the wicked judge and the wrong widow to show us some things about prayer. See, we see the persons that were involved. We see the persistency that's involved. But I want us to notice the plea that's involved. Look at verse number 3. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. The plea here from her in this parable, she came to him saying, avenge me. The conduct of the widow with the judge instructs us in some very valuable principles that I believe about prayer. The consistency-ness in pleading means that she came. She came so much that the judge began to look and say, she continually coming when he was complaining about her continual coming. Look at verse number 5. Yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual what? Coming, she weary me. This continuing coming to the judge by the widow is an illustration to us by Christ to encourage us to continue in our praying habits. The content here of this woman of the unjust was to avenge her of her adversary. And I believe that when we see the persons, we see the persistence, but we see the procrastination by the judge here in his reaction to her. Look at verse number 4. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because of this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. See, procrastination is one of the things that would discourage us when it comes to prayer. Procrastination here has the idea that this judge had no character whatsoever. In other words, it's just like our society today, because when procrastination sets in, it will cause us to stop praying because we feel like nothing is going to happen because he would not avenge her. But what Jesus is trying to teach us, that procrastination by the unjust is not how God is. It's not how God is. See, procrastination on his part here is has some reasons why he procrastinated. And I believe like most widows today, because she was not financially able to pad his pocketbook, he did not want to avenge her. See, in those days, when God calls him an unjust God, he's unjust for a reason, because he lacked character. He had no concern for her, first of all, because if he did, he would have avenged her. He had no compassion for her because he didn't care about her need. But God is not like that. He cares for us. He has compassion towards us. This man had no conviction about justice because if he did, he would have avenged her. He wasn't convicted about doing anything for her. There was no conviction. There was no concern. There was no compassion for this widow. He had no character. And most of us, if you think about a widow in that day, and even widows today, most of them are not financially settled, or they don't have a whole lot financially. And the unjust society in which we live in today has no concern for the victim.
Right. That's right.
They want to protect the person that did the crime.
That's right.
That's a sad testimony. But that's the society that we live in.
Right. Yes, it is.
And because of procrastination, he wouldn't do anything. And because sometimes the system procrastinates against us, we'll give up on praying about it because we don't think that nobody cares for us. But aren't you glad that God cares?
Amen.
See, this is what God is trying to teach us from this parable about being consistent and fervent in our prayer and being persistent in it, because he's not like that unjust judge. Because God is concerned about you. God has compassion. And he is convicted about right and wrongdoing. See, our society, it'll picket against somebody being sent to the gas chamber. But you know what? If you take a life, and if they would send them to the gas chamber the way that they ought to, they might cut out on some crime.
Amen.
But we give them more rights than we give against the person that's been offended. They are picketed against somebody being unjustly treated. And when I think about it, most of y'all know about it. I think about Miss Winona's case. They have given more attention to the person that wrongfully treated her than they did to her. They had no concern for us. But see, Jesus wants us to understand that he's not like that. Aren't you glad that when Abraham said, the God of this the judge of all the earth, he will do right. See, we see the lack of concern. We see the lack of compassion. We see the lack of compensation. He didn't want to compensate her because she wasn't doing anything for his benefit. And her continuing coming and his continual procrastination in this situation shows us how discouraging we may become in our prayer life, but we should not quit.
That's right. Amen.
Because we don't feel like we're being justly treated. Let me say this too while we're at this point. Don't look at what God is doing in somebody else's life and trying to make that the standard as to what ought to be done in your life. And there are many people today will give up on God because they're looking at the blessings of somebody else and think that they're being mistreated. But see, the God of this earth is a just God. He knows exactly what you need. You don't need that blessing. You need something else in your life. And you know what? God is still blessing in your life, whether you believe it or not. Amen. So he wants us to know that the circumstances may seem always against us, but do not give up is the lesson that our Savior wants to teach us from this parable. See, we see the procrastination, but notice the performing in this parable by this judge. I will avenge her in verse 5, and it's not because of his desire to do it. This is not because of repentance, but it's because of rebellion. Y'all said, where you get that from, Pastor White? Well, look at it. Verse number 4. He says, I will not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continuing coming she worry me. In other words, she's getting to be annoying to me. I'm going to avenge her because she's just annoying me. You know what? When the Bible tells us that our God says we can come to him, look at verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cries what? Day and night unto him. See, we can come to God day and night, and he's not going to be annoyed by our coming to him in prayer. This man was willing to answer her because she was annoying to him. Because he didn't want to do it, it was out of rebellion because what she was doing, she was keeping him from doing really what he wanted to do. He wanted to go on to something else so he can continue to make money and put profit in his pocket. So the disturbance here that she brought to him was the reason why he started to act selfishly, because it was selfish of this judge, because his pursuit was that he would just move on to keep her from continually worrying me. And notice this thing about worry. In the Greek, it has this idea to beat, blacken, or bruise till it becomes blue. In other words, the judge decided, I'm going to answer her, not because I want to avenge her, but because I don't want to get assaulted. Worry has the idea of giving somebody a black eye. He said, this woman might decide that she's going to just come up there and just punch me. In other words, she's going to pop in his eye, that where it leaves a black mark under her eye, under his eye, because he would not avenge me. So I'm going to get her from being annoying to me and keep her from assaulting me. I'm going to answer her prayer. Aren't you glad you ain't got to beat God up?
Amen.
You're not annoying to him. You know what? You can't beat him up anyway, because you can't win. Amen.
Amen.
And you're not annoying him, because God wants us to come to him day and night.
Right.
Day and night. Be persistent and consistent in our prayer life. And we're going to close here to look at some promises that God gives us, because this is what he wants to teach us. The promise, first of all, persistency in prayer. Shall not the God of this earth, or shall not God avenge his elect, which cry day and night? The promise that God has given us here is persistence in prayer is what God really wants us to do. Because if we'll be persistent, we'll be consistent. So when we need to be in prayer, it won't come as something that we just haphazardly do, but it becomes because it's something we habitually do. Because we pray all the time. And we don't have to do anything extra, but we just need to be consistent in it. Notice what he says. Not only do we see here from God the persistency, but notice the promise of passion. He says, cry day and night unto him in Luke chapter number 7. A fervent prayer would get God's attention. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The widow was fervent in moving the wicked judge to action. How much more will the fervency of our own elect, or God's only elect that we see in verse number 7, move God to answer prayer? Because that's what he wants us to see in this parable. The promise of patience for prayer. He beareth long, as it says in verse number 7. And shall not the God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? God is patient. And we can't weary God. We don't annoy God with our prayer life. The judge delayed for a lengthy time to settle this widow's case. But God sometimes delays, but his delay is for a noble reason, more so than this wicked judge's reason. The promise says, though God may delay, keep praying, he will always answer. Amen? Yes. Notice not only we see the promise of his pace. Notice what it says here also. He says that cried day and night. And look at verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. But let me say this about speedily. God is not saying that he is coming to answer, but his actions of the answer. We've already shared this with you before. When God takes action, it will be swift, sudden, and sure. When they were in the lion's den, God's actions were swift, they were certain, and they were sure. When they were in the fiery furnace, God's actions were swift, they were sudden, and they were sure. When God answers prayer in your life, they will be swift, they will be sudden, and it will be sure. The speedily is not saying that because you pray tonight, he's going to answer tomorrow. But you know what? He's going to be there when you need what it is that you have need of, because he's just that kind of God. But God wants us to have a consistent and a persistent prayer life. A consistent and a persistent prayer life. That's what he's trying to teach us. Jesus says men ought to always pray. Always. We ought to have a scheduled time. It's something we always do. And when something happens, it don't distract us from our prayer time and our relationship with God. Because he says that we'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us. Right. And prayer is how we communicate to God what it is that is troubling us. He says, if any man lack wisdom, right, let him ask of God, right, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God is not going to withhold from you what you need. And if you don't understand, and we're fervent and persistent and consistent in our prayer life, God is going to answer. God is going to answer. Don't quit. Don't give up. Whoever it is, or whatever it is that you've been praying for, continue to pray. He said, and don't faint. Men ought to always pray. I'm going to continue to pray. I pray for my girls every day. I pray for my wife every day. I pray for my pastor every day. I pray many a times for a lot of you every day. Amen. But you know what? I don't pray enough for you, if we be honest. Because something always happens that'll keep you from having a consistent and a persistent prayer life. But if we would do our diligence to be the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man that we ought to be, it's going to avail much. It will get God to react, or God to respond to the needs that we have in our lives, because he's a good God. He's not like this unjust God, unjust judge that Jesus is teaching us about in this parable. we don't annoy God by prayer, and he's not angry at us, God wants to hear from us. Mm-hmm. And we can pour out our hearts to God.
Right.
And he's never, ever going to give up on us. He will always meet our need. That's what we need to do when it seems like our prayers are not being answered. That was the question that I asked you before we began. What do you do when it seems like prayer is not working? Don't quit. Don't give up. Our God will answer prayer. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for tonight. God, thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture and the wonderful promises that we can find in the Word of God. And what a need we have in our lives tonight about being persistent and consistent in our prayer life. We have the greatest teacher in all the world who tells us that men ought to always pray and not faint. God doesn't want us to quit. He wants us to be consistent. Daniel did what he always did. 3 times a day, he went to the same place, prayed to the same God, and he did it in such a consistent way that God uses this type of teaching to be an encouragement to us. These two people that were involved shows us how God can take the negative and show the positive of how he is and how he loves us and how he answers our prayer. Let's all stand at our feet.